Take pictures. I don't know, have you taken any Christmas pictures yet? Christmas decoration pictures? Any Christmas lights you've seen? Some people who are good at baking take a picture of their nicely baked Christmas cookies or gingerbread house. We take pictures of our friends or family as we see them as well. And it's a challenge getting the perfect picture. The lighting, and particularly if you're looking for a family picture, to get everyone looking the same way and smiling at the same time is a challenge. And it's not always the kids who are the challenge, okay? Often, the Christmas story may seem like the picture-perfect moment. Jesus at the centre. Mary and Joseph standing. Oh, no, no, no. Let's have them kneeling either side. The shepherds to the right, the wise men on the left. Get a bit of symmetry there. And there may be a donkey here or a cow there, a lamb. Sprinkling of hay and voila, the perfect picture. And if you have a nativity scene at home, you may well do this sort of thing every year. Think about where they all go. I went to my daughter's nativity this week at her school, and it was absolutely brilliant. But the thing that stuck with me, apart from her amazing performance, was that one of the children, as part of the story, not just heckling from the back, asked the question, which is a brilliant question, and that is, what happens next? You know, if we just look at the picture-perfect moment, we might be tempted to think this is just a fairy tale. This isn't true. This is just something we do each Christmas. All this talk of hope and light and joy and peace, where is that now? So for the next few minutes, I would like to tell you first what the Christmas story doesn't mean, and secondly, what it does mean and how it can bring hope and joy and peace to you right now, in this moment. So the first thing I'm going to say is that Jesus' arrival didn't mean all problems disappeared. The moment around the manger would be quickly interrupted. The shepherds who saw the bright lights on the hillside of the angels and journeyed down to Bethlehem, afterwards they would go back up to those dark hillsides. Israel was a land that remained under the power of the Romans. And in the not too distant future, Mary and Joseph would flee for their lives from Herod as he would seek to hold on to his power by killing Jesus. The problems of the world did not end with the birth of Jesus. Secondly, Jesus' coming didn't mean there wouldn't be dark days ahead. For Jesus, those dark days were not only just around the corner, they were part of his very story. He would be rejected, mistreated, nailed to a cross. Isaiah 53 calls him a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And it's important for us to remember that this picture-perfect moment, actually Jesus came to a hurting and broken world. And as we faced dark times and dark days ahead, we need to know the truth of this. Now, one thing I love doing at this time of year is driving around the streets and seeing the Christmas lights. They took a little while to go up this year, didn't they? Everyone was a bit like, I don't want to be spending my energy bill on my lights yet. But they've started to go up now. And it's a joy to travel around. It might be a cold evening, but it's a joy to travel around and look at the lights. But come mid-January, a wet evening, you don't want to be driving around. The arrival of Jesus didn't mean an end to dark days, but it did mean light for the world. Jesus' arrival showed that there is hope. Those words, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, speaks of this light coming into the world. John said at the beginning of his gospel, he said, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The light that Jesus brought could not be overcome by darkness, no matter how dark life may seem to be. We lived in South Africa for 18 months, and I hope we're not going to experience it this winter, but we experienced load shedding, which was planned electrical blackouts. for four-hour periods or two-hour periods. It would depend. There was a schedule, so you were ready for what might happen. And it was okay in the daytime. It was manageable. But at night, it was not so much fun. But what we realised in these circumstances is how bright one candle is. You light one candle and it dispels the darkness. And Jesus coming into this world was to dispel the darkness. The darkness we see out there in the world, but also the darkness that we see in our own hearts. Jesus came to bring hope. And if you read further through the gospel accounts of Jesus' life, you can see how he brought hope to many. Those who were marginalized, the sick, imprisoned by darkness, the poor, those hurting. He came to bring hope. And hope is always orientated towards the future. You can't hope for something that's already happened. And this story points us towards the fact that Jesus is coming again. The hope and joy and peace that we see in our nativity is in one sense incomplete. The day that I saw my daughter's nativity is also the day that I went to hospital and sat with some people with some very difficult news. There's a risk that our sentimentality of this time of year can mean we miss the point of the story. The cradle led to the cross. Jesus came to die on a cross to bring forgiveness of sins and hope that goes beyond the grave. The story is not yet complete. We live in the middle of it. Revelation, the final book of the Bible, says this of our eternal home. It says, "They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. In him is light, and in him is life, in all its fullness and life everlasting, where joy and peace in our hearts, that our hearts most long for, becomes a present reality for all eternity." And this future, this hope, is for anyone. It's for anyone. It doesn't matter what you've done in the past. If you come to Jesus, you can have your sins forgiven and you can receive this hope and you can receive this light in your life now. And I tell you what lies in front of us are even better days when Jesus returns. If you'd like to discover more about this Jesus and how his light can transform your life, I encourage you to come. We'll be here next Sunday morning at 10:30. We'll have a meal and we'll be thinking more about this light of the world. We'll also be here on Christmas Day if you fancy coming. But probably more importantly, if you can't make those, is to consider doing... I did have a leaflet here. It seems to have disappeared. You should have had one on your seats anyway. An Alpha course. This is an excellent way of considering what is the Christian message. What is it all about? Many, many people choose to follow Jesus around the world. And millions of people have done an Alpha course to look into it. And I want to encourage you. We're running two Alpha courses next year. Why not come along and look into it for yourself? You can take away, we've got some books at the back, Why Christmas, you can take one of those away. But Alpha gives you an opportunity to look at the Christian faith, to ask your questions, and to go on a journey and possibly discover something amazing that will change your life.